Tim, my studio guest, many of you will know him. He's a larger-than-life character, and he's told me before on air how big a part yoga has played in his life, in his recovery, and in his well-being. And this weekend, he set himself his big annual task of trying to get hundreds of you lot off the sofa and out into the open air, regardless of the weather, to do a bit of yoga. It's called Yoga in the Park. And, of course, the man in question is John Bell. John, good to see you.
How are you, Mark?
How are you?
I'm good, sir. I'm good.
Good.
Thank you very much for giving us a bit of your time, sir.
That's what we're here for. John, it's a remarkable thing. You and I have touched on it before, but you're one of those people who believes that yoga can be a life-changing thing. And you're speaking from personal experience.
That's all I have to go on, you know, is my experience. You know, different people have different reasons for coming into yoga, and you know, which has been well broadcasted. Different people have different opinions on yoga, and what I teach and what I practice is, you know, is what has helped me. I was just chatting to the wee receptionist out there, and we were talking about I've done many things in my life. I've done football and triathlons. I've raced push bikes. And
you were an award-winning cocktail winner.
I've done the whole lot.
You were a boy who tried to cycle a black bicycle up the fountain.
No, I didn't try, Mark. I did it, sir. 2005, the 11th of December. I will never, ever, ever forget it. Me and a mate of mine, Eamon, to go up that.
Heart stuck in the one gear.
I just can't. 45-15, I think, the gear. Or 44-15 is the gear. And old Daisy Bell. But since I started to come to practice yoga and put it into my life as best as I can, you know, it's just unreal.
Where did you find the yoga?
I found it in Northland Centre.
Northland, yes.
Yeah.
You've spoken publicly about recovery was required.
Yeah, that's right. And it was suggested to me about it. And actually, just yesterday, I ran into the head of treatment that was there whenever I was in. And we were talking. I'm actually meeting them tomorrow. And whenever it was around this time here, July 13 years ago, and I was leaving there on the 9th of August 2002. And Mary Cooley says to me the day I left, she says, "Would you not look at yoga to calm yourself down?" And I laughed at her. I says, "Yoga?" And this is why I knew nothing about it and dismissed it. And I remember going to Magella, who was my first teacher, and full of fear. And I hated it. I absolutely hated it. And if it wasn't for the 7 minutes at the end of the class during the relaxation, I know now I had to go through the postures to reach the bit at the end. And that 7 minutes was was the first time in 29 years that I experienced peace. And I didn't know what it was. And that's the reason then I went back to it. It wasn't so much about the postures. It was the feeling of peace and that I had. And the rest...
What were you faced with in those 7 minutes that was new?
It was being still and being taken through like a meditation. And just, you know, going through... It was so simple. But just to lie there, but you have to go through the physical part, you know, of doing the postures first, you know, it was the whole bit of it, to see how, and the way I describe it is, if you ever see people train horses, and they run, they put a lead on them, and run them round and round and round a corral, till the old horse can't do no more, and then they're able to train it, and that's the way, and it's about the stillness, it's about being relaxed, you know, you cannot get strong, you cannot become supple. You can't let stamina into the body unless you learn to relax. That's a fact.
Why do you think people are afraid of it? I remember going to your class at the start and thinking the very same. I'm going to look like a quarry idiot here.
Correct. And this is why, you know, I've been studying this thing. I've come across what I encourage all the people who come to practice with me now is to have a childlike attitude. It's because the adult wants to get it right. He wants to, it's the ego. You know, he wants to get it or they want to get it right. And if you think about children, children have no inhibitions. They don't care. And that's what I am encouraging people now to do.
And you do it with kids as well, don't you?
I do. I work with them and it's fantastic. I love it. You know, they keep you honest, and you know you can't waffle with kids. You know,
what does yoga flush out of you, John? Look, you and I are long enough in the tooth. I knew you before all this.
That's right.
A bit, and I know you better now. Fair to say, you were a, can I use the phrase that you were a wild man?
I was.
You were a wild man, weren't you?
I was. I was definitely a bit OTT, so it was to say in any. But I know why. Like, I know why now, and it's all right. What yoga is what you talked about there, and it's great. The way you just said it, what it flushes out of you, is the postures, and because yoga is inward, and what I describe is whenever you're in the postures, if you can visualize a bulldozer inside your body, and clearing all the toxin through the body and redden it all out, you know, this here, and that's when you get into the philosophy part of it, right, you know, into it. But that's the visualization that you have. And when people leave a yoga class, you know, whenever they leave a yoga class, and that was my experience, they don't understand the feeling that they have. You know, it's this feeling, they just can't grasp it. Because it's new to them, mm-hmm. and it's the body that's changing. But the you know, and then most people, a lot of people want it right now. Mm-hmm. And what yoga teaches you, that you can't have it like that.
I couldn't get the piece out. I was fidgeting and I was falling off.
Yeah.
You had me up on the one foot and then I fell over because
And that's right.
And I didn't get to this,
and I was the
this
same.
Place of karma.
No, but you know? I was the exact same man. I'm telling you, I couldn't do the postures. I hated them. And couldn't get into them at all until you learn to relax.
You see, you can say as much about it as you want, but for you it was getting past chemicals, actual chemicals in your life. People might find it hard to understand, John, how yoga, stretching yourself,
mm-hmm.
deals with chemicals.
Uh-huh.
They're two very different things.
Well, it's to deal with feeling, right? Whenever you do a yoga practice, okay, it's natural. There's nothing, it's natural. What you're doing is that you're working with your physical body, the mental body, and the emotional body. So you're working with them. And that's, once you're doing that yourself, and you're either doing your own practice, you know, there's a self-practice that you can do, or you're being led by an experienced teacher. And there's nothing false about it. There's nothing aiding you. You're there on that 7-foot mat on your own, and you've got to relax. You've got to learn to relax, or else it doesn't last.
There's a lot of boys can't relax.
And that's it. And because they're looking for it right away.
Mm.
And that's, you know, and you mentioned boys there, right? You mentioned boys. And it's just now, you know, I'm blessed with so many men coming to the class, all different kinds. And there's one man, I know I'm not mind me saying about him coming, you know, there's Paggy. You know, Paggy Sweeney, like you would know him. And Paggy is the last image that you would think of somebody that would be doing a yoga practice.
He's a tight boy.
Yeah, big, hard, fighting man, all at karate, kickboxing, and the whole bit, bouncer, the lot.
Mm-hmm.
And you'd need to see what that man does. You know, it's unreal. And that's what he was saying. He didn't know how to relax. And what I teach is what was taught to me. Now, my teaching has a lot to do with the 12-step recovery. I use a lot of affirmations. And you don't need to be in recovery to do it, but the some of the stuff that goes into the head is, you know, it sits. And I would always hear people, and you never think that people would take it on, but I hear people saying, everywhere I turn, I see beauty.
That's one of your rephrases.
That's right, you know, and all this sort of stuff.
Right,
you know?
That remind me of an old couple, John.
I'm a warrior of the heart.
And
you know, I have fear of the known before me, and you know, I like myself unconditionally. You know, whenever you're stuck in the middle of posture, and you think, you know, that helps you relax.
Do you like yourself unconditionally?
Do now.
No hesitation.
None. You know, today, that's, you know, today I definitely do. And the last time me and you were here, right, you know, was whenever I had John Scott over.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
Australian chap.
New Zealand.
New Zealand chap, yeah.
Top teacher in the world. Now, the fact that man wanted to come to my studio, mm-hmm. right, you know, and because I told him so much about the people of this town here, you know, amazing. And where we are over in the water side there, you know, and I have so, you know, what is actually happening to me. And this is what I was talking to Jack yesterday about, you know, about that I had him over here, and he was blown away because of what I would. Now, he is a traditionalist Angus self-practice thing, but he changed it. You know, he taught and he came back and he seen the people. And what he noticed in the class, and it was a real... He didn't say, John, you're a fantastic teacher or anything at all like that, you know. What he said was that there was no class distinction, is what he noticed in the room.
Yeah.
And there were so many different professional people in that room. There were people in recovery, there were consultants, there were housewives, there were nurses, there was doctor, everything.
But John, in fairness, you see, but you're the least modest man these days, or you're the most modest man these days you'll ever meet. A big part of that is you. I would have referred to you as a Pied Piper figure. You've got this everyman thing that you'll talk to king or pauper. And it's a big part of your character. Let's be fair. This yoga thing, this journey, has opened you up as a human being.
Oh, aye. Well, it has. Look, Mark, what did I tell you? I know what I am now today, right? I wake up this morning and I know what I am, and I know what I do is to keep me right. But
what do you mean you know what you are? What are you? I couldn't tell you what I am. I'm a boy on the radio or a boy that grows a few herbs. Do you know what you are?
I do.
Is it very personal?
It's not personal, no. Like, I know that, you know, the condition that I have, and I accept the condition that I have, and I've no bother, you know, I've no bother about it at all, because I've you know, people know where I am, where I've come from. I have an amazing family, you know.
I know. I'm always struck.
But what I had have, the big thing for me was my friend Michael McCann bought me a book, Yoga and Addiction. And I was going back and I was blessed. I was asked to go to back, because that, I wanted to help people the way that I, and it was Magella that had says to me, you know, about, I was never at school. I felt, you know, I had no education. 2 days before a training course started, she asked me to be a teacher. And she kept going on to me for a long time. I said, I'm not interested. And she says to me, but would you not like to help people like yourself? And that hit me right in the heart. And my friend bought me a book, Yoga and Addiction. And the woman who wrote the book was called Annalisa Cunningham. And I phoned her to California before I went in to work in the Northlands. And she was in recovery herself. And what she says to me, in the year's training that I got, you know, in the year's training that I got, she says to me, I'll give you one piece of advice. She says, make your classes fun, because we've been in pain long enough. Well, that wiped me out, sir. And I tell you, her book showed real people. If you go into any bookstore and buy a yoga book, 90% of them are all perfectly figured women and men, right, you know.
That's very middle class or something. Or
yeah,
very, it's all
and her book had boys with big bellies, women with big breasts, beards on them and everything. Mm. Real people. Real people. Mm-hmm. And that's what I try to do. I'm not interested in people who can, you know, it's great.
Would you not write about that?
Eh?
Would you not write about that? Because it's a different way.
A lot of people.
I have never heard anybody talk about it the way you, because when you talk about it, I get it. Ages like me, can, and people out there are going, I know exactly what this man's talking about, and I feel it. Do you think you should write that?
I don't know. Look, not now anyway. Right. Not now. I just love what I'm doing, you know.
John, and again, it's this is, you know, these are personal waters in a sense. But again, people listening to this will remember you as the boy in the bar in the anchor. I've seen you reaching over the bar and yanking boys out of the front door. You know, you're a boy that people traditionally did not mess with. Bells in the house. Behave yourself. That was the deal. But every time I talk to you about this, it's almost this upwelling of emotion that suddenly opens you up to be that very vulnerable person, and it's opened you up to that.
It has, you know, and that's what, you know, see, that's great terminology. That's great, you know, because you're dead right. Yoga awakens you. It opens you. And whenever you're doing postures, it opens your heart. I was closed. I was a closed book for 29 years, closed book, you know. And see, all that stuff, that was bravado. I wasn't real. You know, that wasn't the whole thing. That was not. And now I need to keep it real. And this is what this stuff does. You know, this is what my practice does. And, you know, what...
Do you not miss pulling pints, by the way, no?
Do you want to know something?
I have to look. People, you are brilliant at it. Because people are wondering, is he going to punch a boy? Is he going to sing and dance? What's he going to do the night? It was crack.
Yeah, I loved it.
Serious
yes,
crack.
I loved it. And you know, I still have the bar. And you know, my ego. Whenever I was, I thought the bar was going to close. And Gemma, you know, who is doing amazing work up
your partner,
and we went into there. You know, I would still keep my hand involved in it, right? Now, I would have absolutely no hesitation of having to go back into that game again if this was to dry up for me, if this was to go belly up. But, you know, I loved it. I was a barman for 33 years. Now, what that there had helped me, Mark, was because I worked with people, all different kinds of people, that has helped me in my teaching, because I have that same, you know, because I am still up there.
Yeah.
You know, I'm in the front and behind the bar. You know, I was talking to people. I've been sitting and listening to boys having bad days. I was listening to boys having good days. If anybody was messing about, they had to go. And it's the same thing. People coming in, you know, but you have to watch yourself. You know, people would drain you. And it's the same in the yoga world. You know, you just have to watch, you know, you just have to protect.
People are thankful. Kira is in touch to say, John did relaxation with my husband before he passed away. He hasn't mentioned any of his voluntary stuff. He gives a lot for people privately, not just in his classes. And you see, you'd be the last boy to talk about that, wouldn't you?
Mm.
You helped that lady's husband.
That there was a really, you know, that was a real special time, you know, what I did with that. You know, people think about yoga, right? And I went, here, come on there. People think about yoga that you have to be able to put your leg... You always hear people saying, oh, you can't put my leg around the back of my head or to touch me. It has nothing to do with it. Mm-hmm. That fella there did yoga lying on a bed, mm-hmm. right? You know, he did it lying on his bed. He moved. And whenever we did, you know... And that girl was saying... You know what? But it's not me. I'm a messenger. I can't. You know, if they don't, if Joe didn't participate in what he was doing, and all Joe kept saying was, "That's amazing." You know that, and he kept thanking me, and that's okay. I'm a messenger, but he did it. You know, it was Joe that did it. Joe moved his hands and simple stuff and then went through the relaxation.
But the other part was your friend from New Zealand, the world-class boy, was sitting where you were sitting, and I says, well, you know, because he was getting on
that's
it.
Right.
I says, well, can you still do it? He says, can I still do it? And he sat there. Do you remember what he done?
No, you says to him, are you worried about getting oil? And he just lifted the leg right up there.
He lifted the leg up, sitting down, and he was pointing
that's
the leg
right.
at the roof.
That's right.
Straight up. I was going to ask you about that, because you present these days as a boy with a few grey whiskers.
Uh-huh.
How does it change when you get older, as you age? Does it bother you, John?
Absolutely not at all. You know, like, if you keep... You see, this is my friend is Mickey Kerr, and Mickey has taught me a lot of stuff, and is what he is talking about now is the longevity, you know, of whenever we come in to do these things as we get older. You know, it's that you can practice yoga, like Mr. Iyengar and Patabli Joyce practice yoga to their 90 years of age, gurus, and taught people. There's ladies. Me and that girl out there was just mentioning a lady here in the town, 84 years of age and teaching yoga, Hilda. You know, Hilda Brown. Amazing woman. I have a wee woman, Selin, who comes to my class. Today, this morning, she's 70 years of age. She'll not mind me saying that. She was standing on her head. She had her 2 feet up the wall, standing on her hands. The only people, I said this before, the only people I can teach is lazy people. Yeah. Anybody else, you know, can do it.
Isn't it funny how so many of the teachers as well, it's not just yourself, I'm sure you'll be the first to acknowledge, they're all civil. It's all, they just seem to be open, sort of, generous.
Well, that's
types,
you know, you got to teach that. You know, you've got to. You know, I can't stand up there and do teaching stuff and do advanced postures, and walk down the stairs, and wee Ruth, the cleaner in the place, would say, "Hello, John," and I walk past her. You know, that's not yoga. You know, that's, and this is why how this stuff now that I'm doing on Saturday, you know, for my daughter Jenny and Angela and them, because what they're doing, they're caring, you know, and that's what it's about, because you can only keep what you have by giving it away.
Yeah, well, there you go. We'll come to the event in a wee second. Les pitches in with a bit of humour. Les Doherty says, "Yoga has left John, has left him very flexible. He can do a Monday, a Wednesday, a Saturday or a Tuesday." Karen Wiener is on the page as well. I don't know if you know Karen. John says, "I wish you well for Saturday, John. Good on you, boys," he says. And Jenny says, "Donations on the day will go towards Friends of Moving On Up. That's a charity for young people and adults with learning disabilities." Yeah. John, tell us a bit more about that.
Well, they're, you know, adults, they're over 18. Mm. And whenever Jenny had got into that line of work, it was... I'd just seen the stuff that they were doing. And, you know, what they all involve inclusion, you know, about not being left out to the, you know, and that's what they're doing. You know, they had a fashion show there in Limavady there a couple of months ago. Mm. And they were doing all the modelling and it. And it was just unreal.
Flavio says, "Soul and nature breathing together in Derry. This is progress." You would buy into a lot of thinking, John, wouldn't you, about energy and changing places and what we've been through. Not that you're, you know, the preacher coming down from the hills kind of stuff, but you would believe that this stuff changes lives, changes communities.
Well, it's inclusive. You know, whenever people come to me, we've got the Indian community, we've got Catholic, Protestant, we have whatever, but nobody knows and nobody cares. Mm. Nobody cares at all, you know.
It must be strange, Indian folk being taught yoga by you. It's like,
Mark, it's one of the most unbelievable things.
Like us going to Australia, being taught the fiddle and the
I'm telling you, man, it was the Indian community, right, the Kerala Indian community, and I actually put it up, and they asked me to teach them yoga, and that's what I ended up. Would you ever believe a Tam Nairn man would end up teaching Indians? It was just absolutely amazing. And it was the language barrier was going, and they were all looking at me and some of the stuff. And I just said, "You're just having a clue what I'm saying to you."
Because when you're doing it, you talk down there. You talk the way you talk.
But you see,
you don't talk about, you know, settle your mind. You go like, whatever's going on the old cement mixer, set it. You know, you talk about the head.
But that's
cement
what my
mixer.
Friend, you know, that's what my friend. Yeah, I have to be me, right, you know. And I, my, you know, about... Joe Doctor, right, you know,
Dr.
and
I was,
when my friend is teaching me, Paula as well, is teaching me anatomy, right, and about adjustments, mm-hmm. and you ought to see that, that is so funny, you know, where you're learning, and because I love this, I love giving adjustments, but I want to do it right, and some of the way that I pronounce some of the words, and I teach doctors, and I be and then the physiotherapist that's been in the class, and you go down and you're going, "Is that right? Is that right? Is that right?" And it's just being real.
But you must be aware that you're a highly intelligent man, but you have totally embraced and loved your, I was going to say, your native identity of being a countryman, speaking country, being proud of it, and all the rest.
That's right,
and it's very unusual, John, because a lot of people who find themselves at the cutting edge or something, they sort of set that behind and become a bit more bourgeois, a bit more middle class. You know?
No.
And I think it's what people like about you.
But it's, well, thank you. But it's about being real. And that's what my friend taught. I see what you're saying now, right? My second day in the teaching course, and I was the only, you know, I was in the course, and then they were doing, and Michael was there, Michael McCann, and they were doing, now this is what I'm not saying, they're saying bring your right arm up, and I looked and I meant, and I says to him, "I may go," and he says, "Why, what's wrong?" And I says, "If you hear me talk like that there to teach yoga," I says, "I'm bit."
How would you have said it?
I says, there's this woman in this town, right, and it was the first time that I realised it, right, see Shirley, and she was long time doing yoga, and I taught in Fitness First at the beginning. And I didn't even realise it, you know. And what I says, you know, take your right arm behind you and roll over onto your right-hand side, right, you know. And she come up and she says to me, I'll never forget it, she says, "You're a breath of fresh air." That's the first time I ever heard anybody say, roll over onto your right-hand side. But that's it. And it was Michael, you know, just be myself, yeah, you know.
Yeah. John, I could talk to you all day.
Thank you.
I could talk to you all week, and I'm sure a lot of listeners are in the very same boat.